Hello and welcome to the Women's County Cricket Weekly Wrap-Up Show. Today I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron Viles.
Hello, Lucy. Obviously, a pleasure to be on here for the weekly wrap-up again. And to be fair, it's a beautiful day here in England and Wales. Sun is shining in Shakespeare's County. Warwickshire are doing quite well at the moment as well. Currently got Essex 81 for three at Fortress Edgbaston. So obviously, my mood is pretty good coming off the back of a fantastic win against Nottinghamshire as well. And of course, we've got a very, very exciting podcast ahead of us today. So overall, Lucy, pretty happy and can't wait to get into today's show.
Yeah, I was following Northants this morning against Glamorgan, but back to uni work now, so there we are.
Glam were doing well, though, to be fair.
Yeah, they were, yeah. So today we are joined by Eve Jones. Eve, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, from my intro, very, very good. I have to admit, when England is like this, it is one of the most beautiful places on the earth, in my personal humble opinion. It really is. Sun's out, greenery's out as well, there's cricket on. Oh, it's an absolute scene here today in the United Kingdom. It really is.
Yeah, it's absolutely stunning here as well in Cheltenham, the Shire. So, Eve, obviously, you're our guest today. Do you want to start by telling us some more about your first sort of cricketing memories?
Yeah, sure. So I'm here in sunny Shropshire. Beautiful day again. But yeah, I grew up and I still live in Shropshire, and I played all my age group cricket in Shropshire before moving on to play for Staffordshire, just to play at a higher standard really and test myself a little bit more. And then played, I don't know, 5 years there. And we had some success. We managed to get promoted to Div 1 and had some great times there, and then in my final year, that's when the KSL first started. So I played for Loughborough Lightning, and we actually made finals day, which was really exciting. Even though I got run out without facing the ball, it was still a great experience, and the whole competition itself was a good step up from county cricket and what I'd been used to. So yeah, just giving my first insight of that professionalism. And from there I got asked to go and play for Lancashire for both county cricket and the KSL. So had the opportunity to open the bat in the KSL, which was pretty special and really good to test my skills against some of the best bowlers in the world. So that was a really good step up for me and just trying to progress again. So and then at Lancs we had, I think it was my first year, we had so a really successful year in which we won both county and 50 over comp and the T20 comp. So yeah, that was a little bit unknown because Lancashire women had never actually won a trophy before. So I just sort of rocked up and enjoyed the winning. So all the girls there had been working really hard for the previous however many years, and so it was really good just to walk in and taste that success first season. So that was, big highlight of my career so far. And then I'd, I don't know, 3 or 4 years at Lancashire, and then here I am today playing for Warwickshire,
yep.
Which I'm still waiting to make my debut for 2 years on. So looking forward to that on Sunday. So and then obviously the Central Sparks and the Birmingham Phoenix. So it should be an exciting year.
Exactly. That is the attitude and the spirit, of course. Very Midlands based as well, with Warwickshire, the Phoenix, and of course the Central Sparks. And we'll talk about that a bit more as the podcast progresses. But just to take you back to those early formative cricketing years then, who'd you say in those early days in Shropshire were your cricketing idols? Who were your role models in the professional game per se, in both the men's and the women's environment?
I probably wouldn't say there's too many in the women's environment. When I was younger growing up, I was playing in boys teams, and I still play in the men's team now at my local club in Whitchurch. So obviously Charlotte Edwards is a big one that springs to mind within the women's game growing up, but locally there probably wasn't too many females about that played the game really. So on a national basis it would definitely be Charlotte Edwards, and then trying to think who my men's hero would be. There'd be so many from that early era. So Darren Goff, I used to love watching him bowl, him and Caddick steaming in. So they were a couple of my heroes. I remember we were going on holiday and I think we went to the Isle of Wight or something and literally just watched cricket all day. So yeah, a bit badgery, but yeah, that's sort of a little bit of my upbringing. We used to just watch cricket all the time as much as possible and play as much as possible. So yeah.
Hey, absolutely nothing wrong with that, Eve, at all. Nothing wrong with being a cricket badger. Okay, here at the Cat Cricket Podcast, we do also have our Lancashire co-host Joe Nutsy Nuttall, who isn't here, but all three of us absolute badgers. We've got the entire set here at TCCP. But with regards to the, well, I suppose those early days again in Shropshire itself, what do you remember from your debut for Shropshire? What do you remember from the day? How momentous of an occasion was that for you as a Salopian?
I can't remember. I think I was about 14 or 15 when I made my first team debut for Shropshire. And it was like, yeah, it's just something that, I don't know, like I'd wanted to do since I was younger. And I think I first played my first under 11 Shropshire game when I was about 9. So there's probably about 5 years between that and playing my first senior game. But yeah, it was just great to be part of the county setup. And I remember when I first got my letter saying that I'd got through trials and was got selected for Shropshire, I was so chuffed. And yeah, it was just a really exciting time for me. Like, I've always wanted to play cricket since I was about 5 or 6. So yeah, to be able to play county cricket was a really good start for me.
Absolutely. It's always nice, isn't it, when you hear stories and tales of local cricketers making it in their own counties. It's lovely. I mean, recently in county cricket in the championship, seeing Sam Evans scoring a century. The guy was born in Leicester and he's going out there scoring runs down at the Oval against Surrey for the Running Foxes. It's absolutely brilliant. It's so nice as a county fan to see. And of course, Eve, you actually got to do that, I suppose. You got to play for Shropshire, something that I certainly can't say with Warwickshire. Fortunately for Warwickshire, we aren't that desperate. We actually have got talented individuals here in Shakespeare's County to play our wonderful sport. But with regards to that step up to county cricket, you mentioned about age group cricket in particular. How difficult was the step up for you personally? How difficult was it to adapt and overcome those first hurdles, per se, in the county game?
I don't know, really, because alongside that, I'd always played with the boys' team. So I was never scared of the ball, or I was never scared of not doing well, in a sense. I was just really excited to be out there playing cricket. And I think I played quite a lot of cricket as a youngster, playing as many matches as I could and training as much as I could. Like, my dad coached me from an early age, so if I ever wanted throwdowns, then they were sort of there on my doorstep. And he's probably regretting it a little bit now because he's had about 4 shoulder operations. But I think obviously with anything that you step up, there's always that that extra challenge. And obviously playing senior cricket when I was about 14 we're obviously facing quicker bowlers. I think I remember playing against Warwickshire under 17s when I was about 13 because we were really short, and I remember rocking up. We had like a 2-day, we had Notts one day and Warwickshire the next day, and I remember I just thought, oh my god, they're so quick. But managed to stick in and got bowled out for about 17 against Warwickshire and I think I managed to get about 9 not out at the end. But yeah, it was a big learning curve for us. But obviously, we're smaller county, so the pool of players isn't as good as what you've got at Warwickshire. So yeah, there's a lot of opportunities for us. But yeah, the standard probably wasn't as good as what it was at Warwickshire, because we were sort of scraping the barrel a little bit with me playing when I was about 13. So so that's about it, really.
I'll tell you what, it's a good story though, that, Eve. Very, very good story. And of course, again, we do like those kind of competitions though. I don't like calling them minor counties, but that is what they are called technically in our game. So your Shropshires, you've got the rest of Wales per se, Devon, Cornwall, for example, who knows, may one day actually gather the resources to become first class counties. You never know. Look at Durham. They did it in 1992. It's certainly possible. But it's always nice. And when you talk to people from Shropshire, from Devon, Cornwall, and they take on the quote-unquote big boys, I mean, obviously it doesn't always go well, but when you do win those games, absolutely massive. And it's something which does stick with you for life. And Eve, did you actually ever get the opportunity to beat one of the first-class counties, or was that something that never quite materialised?
I'm not sure that's quite materialised yet, but hopefully in the future it's something that can happen. Like, I know a lot of minor counties have produced some really good players, like, I think Heather Knight started off playing for Devon. Mm-hmm. So, like, there is the talent there in these areas. It's just trying to then hold on to these players and actually formulate a really strong team before losing them to big counties, I suppose.
Absolutely. And Lucy, I just wanted to ask you really, actually, because I certainly, as I alluded to earlier, never had the talent to even try and make it even remotely close to Warwickshire's radar. But did you ever try and get on the books at Glamorgan or Cricket Wales? Did you ever try and get into the age group cricket or the professional game per se?
Yeah, so I used to play, it was regional, but it was non-trial because women's cricket wasn't really popular. And then I think I signed up for the Cricket Wales like trials, but I ended up not even going. But like my little claim to fame that I always say is the toughest bowler I've ever faced is 10-year-old Alex Griffiths in the nets at Swansea. So obviously Western Storm's Alex Griffiths, absolute gun bowler, always petrified of her. And I used to bat with her in the net because we'd only be there for like an hour or so. And they say, oh, bat in pairs. The first week I batted with one of my mates, faced Alex Griffiths, absolutely panicking down the batter's end. And then the next week I was like, oh, if I bat with Alex, I am going to face her. So it was ideal.
Yeah, clever. Probably smart in hindsight that to pay yourself. But that's like, well, I suppose with ours, someone who's comparable would be Henry Brooks. Wouldn't mind facing him. I probably would. Okay, I think I'm being a bit overconfident there about taking on Henry Brooks. But yeah, if you can't beat them, join them. Simple as that. And Lucy, I think that's some sound advice for any young cricketers out there, to be honest. But yeah, that's an interesting story. Never actually knew that. Of course, I don't have any stories like that. I mean, we're lucky to have any pros around here in my tiny little rural corner of Warwickshire. But who knows, maybe one day Ian Bell might rock up. You never know.
So obviously, I mentioned Alex Griffiths, and obviously she's with Western Storm, and the Kia Super League. What can you tell us about that, and what was one of some of your highlights for it?
Kia Super League, yeah. Obviously, the competition itself sort of put women's cricket on the map a little bit more. So, yeah, it was a great step up from county cricket and trying to bridge the gap between county cricket and England level. So, yeah, obviously attracted a lot of really good overseas international players. So for us regional players, it was great to test ourselves against them. Obviously getting the chance to open the batting for Lancashire Thunder was a big highlight. And I think I got a top score of 69 or something. So yeah, it was just good to be able to get out there and prove myself a little bit. So yeah, and then obviously making finals day with Loughborough Lightning on the first year of the competition was also a special day. As I said, we lost and I didn't get to face a ball, but just being there with the crowds and the buzz around it, it was really good.
I can imagine. And it was, I like the Super League, I'm going to be honest. I mean, I haven't been watching women's cricket for ages. Okay, I've only been watching it since 2017, but I did quite like the Super League. I had to admit, when Loughborough played down at Edgbaston, for example, people would go and watch it. You'd see that in the regional hubs per se, and suddenly women's cricket in England and Wales had a bit more of a platform. And of course, that will be built upon further with the advent of the Women's 100 this year. But Eve, this is quite a philosophical and profound question, actually, because of course the KSL is no longer here. But in hindsight, in retrospect, given the massive overseas name, I mean, yourself, you played with Elise Perry with the Lightning and Harmanpreet Kaur at the Thunder to name just two players, Sophie Devine, another one. So you had these massive names. You had the emergence of English talent, Sophie Eccleston being a major part of that. In retrospect and hindsight, just how big of an impact do you think the Kia Super League has had on women's cricket here in England and Wales?
I think it's had a massive impact. I think it's obviously produced quite a few players that have gone on to play for England. I think Kirsty Gordon being a good example of that. She had an absolute storming year for Loughborough Lightning. Sarah Glenn as well. Two bowlers that have had really good seasons in the KSL and earned their call up to England. So I think it does give the regional players an opportunity to show their skills on the main stage and get rewarded for it. So I think in that respect, yeah, it just bridges that gap between England and the rest of us, really. So and then having the opportunity to play with the international players that we have, their experience is invaluable. It's great to train with them daily and then even play with them on the pitch. Like, the experiences they bring is has been really good, and it's a good learning curve for everybody, especially the young girls in the squad. So
yeah, I can imagine. I mean, massive names. They are huge international names. And if you had to choose one, Eve, I know this is putting you on the spot a bit, but because you did play with some fantastic players for both the Lightning and the Thunder, if you could choose one who really, really stood out to you in terms of professionalism, in terms of performances, in terms of the way in which they actually acted in a dressing room and around the actual team, who would you say was the standout overseas player that you played with in the KSL?
Oh, that's a good question. There's a couple that have been phenomenal. Elise Perry's obviously Elise Perry. Like, she can't really do anything wrong, so she's great to learn off. I think a big one for me in helping me would be Amy Satterthwaite, fellow left-handed batter. She was just incredible. Like, the way she goes about her business. Like, she's so calm, whatever the situation. She's probably like the ultimate professional, whether she's on the pitch or off the pitch. So. And she's always there to help everybody out if they need anything. And she's really approachable and, yeah, just and become a good friend of mine as well. So, yeah, she's probably one of the main ones, I'd say.
Fair enough. Good choice. Very, very good choice. And she'll thank you for that if she does listen to the podcast. But Lucy, I suppose I want to just transfer that question over to yourself, actually. If you could choose one overseas player in the women's game to actually bat alongside or maybe bowl with, who would you choose and why?
I probably want to play with Elise Perry. Obviously, I'm looking forward to seeing her in the 100 this year. But yeah, I think she's just phenomenal. And as you said, she can't really do anything wrong, can she? So looking back at the Kia Super League, what would you say was one of the toughest moments that you faced in it?
I think probably my final year at Lancashire Thunder. We had a new coach, so it was that was last minute. So it was all a bit hectic, and then I don't think we quite got the team balance quite right because we struggled to win many games. So I think that showed on the pitch a little bit, which was a bit obviously a bit disappointed. But we had still had some great players, but we just unfortunately didn't manage to win too many. So that was probably the most disappointing thing.
Looking at that as well, who would you say is the toughest bowler that you've faced?
Toughest bowler? Probably Marizanne Kapp. She's just a genius with the ball and she makes it really difficult to score off. So she doesn't bowl too many bad balls. So you sort of have to try and make something happen. And obviously with that, the risks are greater. So, but yeah, she seems to hit the spot every single time. So she makes it difficult to bat against.
Yeah, she's one of my favourite players. I've mentioned her a few times.
Yeah, we're only three episodes in. I think you mentioned her about two or three times already.
Obviously, all right, not as much as you've mentioned Warwickshire, so...
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, I'll hold my hands up for that. I mean, if anyone out there is listening, okay, I've got a challenge for you. Over the course of the Women's County Cricket weekly wrap-up shows, try and count how many times I mention Warwickshire per episode, and I reckon it'll be in triple digits. But yeah, it's enough about my Warwickshire bias, of course. Looking forward to this season then, Eve. Let's move on from the KSL. Let's talk a bit about this year, because for the women's game, it is tremendously busy. You've alluded to earlier, the county season starts this weekend. Warwickshire take on Wales, I believe, in our first game. Then, of course, you've got the Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy for the Central Sparks. And then for the women's game, the showpiece will be the 100 later this year. So for you, Eve, what are your goals for the 2021 season with each of those teams? Do you have any kind of personal accolades or achievements that you're going after, per se?
Yeah, as well as the Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy, we've got the regional T20s as well. So there's going to be so much cricket. I think for me, obviously, it'd be great to win as many of those competitions as possible. But I think it's just to try and play an exciting brand of cricket and put some good performances in as a team and individually. I think especially with the Central Sparks, we're obviously a new team. We only formed last year, so we're still trying to grow our fan base. So if we can hopefully get some fans in as well, COVID permitting, which I think hopefully we should do. That's one of our key aims, is to try and fill Edgbaston or fill New Road. So we obviously want to try and be an exciting team to watch. And then with that, hopefully that will help us win games. So yeah, I think trying to be as successful as possible and try and win some silverware would be great.
Fingers crossed. Obviously, as a Midlands native, would not be amiss to that at all. But you mentioned there about the Sparks, and we saw the Sparks come onto the scene in 2020 with the inaugural RHF Trophy. In terms of this season, though, who would you say are some of the players that we can expect to watch, or should we be watching on our radar, per se? Which exciting young talents are there within that Sparks team, which we should be keeping a closer eye on, per se, in 2021?
I think there's probably a few. We've obviously had a good winter training. And then now we've had about 4 or 5 warm-up games. So there's quite a few people that have actually put their hand up and put in some good performances early on. So M. Arlott, our nasty fast bowler, is looking a bit quicker than she was last year, and she's got off to a flying start this year and looking to hit the deck hard. So she's probably one for me. And I think obviously last weekend she also got her call up to the England Academy team. So she's going in the right direction. Also we've got Hannah Baker, who's on the England Academy. She had an exciting first season last year, so she came in halfway through the tournament and made a debut at Headingley, and I think she got 3 wickets and sort of won us the game in a sense. So we know what she can do, so looking forward to seeing how she goes as well. Who else we got? We've got Grace Potts, who's still waiting to make a debut, but she's looking really good as well. She's our other fast bowler. And then obviously we've got Izzy Wong, the other fast bowler. We've got a few fasties in our squad. So, and then batting wise, we've got Rhea Fackrell over from Loughborough Lightning. She's signed for us this year. Millie Holmes put in a good couple of performances, got a couple of scores under her belt. So I think there's quite a few people that are putting their hand up this year, which is exciting to see. We've had a great pre-season so far. We've still got some more games to play. So yeah, I think we're in a good place.
Well, that's good to hear. Obviously, as a Central Sparks fan for this season, should be good. Exciting times then down at Edgbaston and New Road. And you mentioned there about Izzy Wong. Now, we haven't had her on this podcast, but I have interviewed her before on my separate channel. And I just wanted to ask you this question, really, Eve. You mentioned there about her being a bit of a speed demon. She bowls very, very quick. Do you think she can actually break the 80 mile an hour mark? Yes or no?
Yes. I think it's only a matter of time. I think she's still really young. She's still got so many years ahead of her. And yeah, she's bowling quick in the net. So yeah, I don't see why there's no reason she can't. And I think she will. It's only a matter of time, really.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed again. Keep our fingers crossed. It's becoming a bit of a theme. But yeah, it would be nice for Izzy to do that. And as we've said, they're very, very talented. Been on England's radar, went on the tour to New Zealand. I don't think she played in any games. But again, definitely someone to watch out for heading into the future. And before we just touch upon the 100, of course, as a Warwickshire fan, there we go, tick another one off on the list if you're counting. But as a Warwickshire fan for this season, what are the goals for the Bears, per se, in each of the regional competitions?
Well, we're only playing T20 cricket this year.
Still the champions.
Still the champions, yeah. But I'm not sure I can claim that because I wasn't here. But yeah, I think similarly, we're just trying to play some good cricket, and hopefully if we can win, then even better. I don't think there's going to be an overall winner, is there? Because it's all regionalised. So yeah, I think just be as competitive as we can in every single game. And I think hopefully loads of different people putting their hand up and getting a good opportunity to go out there and take wickets and score runs. So yeah.
So obviously you've mentioned a lot of cricket obviously going on this year with the 2 competitions with the regionals. And obviously, how excited are you for the 100?
Oh, I can't tell you how excited I am. I think it's going to be great. I think obviously last year was a bit of a blow with it not happening. So I think that just adds to the excitement for this year. It's had a big build-up now, so I think everyone's just really excited to get out there and play. And I think it's going to be great. I think obviously there's a lot of mixed views over it, but I think once we get started, I think hopefully we can get loads of people backing us and coming to the games and cheering us on, and hopefully yeah, we can again put on some good performances for them.
Absolutely, yeah, should be the showpiece, shouldn't it, really, come the summer. Massive, absolutely huge for the women's game, in my personal opinion. And in terms of the Birmingham Phoenix, let's just touch upon the Phoenix in a little bit more depth. Because Elise Perry, who we mentioned, of course, at length in today's podcast, when she signed, that was massive news. That's absolutely huge. You're getting probably, well, I'll say probably, I would say the best player in the world right now in the women's game, without a shadow of a doubt. She can do absolutely everything on the cricket field. Eve, what was your reaction to that signing? First of all, when did you find out? And second of all, what was the reaction like when you actually found out the news?
Obviously really excited to have a player like Elise joining us. I'm not actually sure when I found out. It feels like it was ages ago. But obviously they had to keep it under wraps for a little bit. But yeah, I think she just adds so much to our squad. Our squad's looking really good. The other two overseas, Sophie Devine and Ash Gardner as well, they're two phenomenal players. So I think Elise just adds that extra bit of sprinkle on the top to our squad, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we have got a good core as well down at the Phoenix as well. And in terms of, I have to mention this question again, I suppose, because we've said it for the Sparks. But in terms of for the Phoenix, again, are there any young upcoming talents that we should be keeping on the radar for this year's 100?
I think we've got a similar squad to the Sparks, with a lot of the players playing in both the Phoenix and the Sparks. So I think there's Marie Kelly, who's Warwickshire captain as well. She's been playing really well the last couple of games. Gwen Davis, also looking really good recently. I've been opening the batting with her recently. So, yeah, I think there's quite a few young players that are wanting to put their hand up and perform in a team like that. And I think with the quality that we already have, I think for us regional players, it'll be great to play alongside a lot of these other players as well.
Absolutely. And I suppose this is the million-dollar question, if we are going to be very, very cliche. Looking on paper, again, obviously cricket isn't played on paper, but do you think the Birmingham Phoenix can win the inaugural Women's 100 based off of the strength of the squad?
Yeah, definitely. I think the squad we've got is really strong. Obviously, what's on paper and what happens on the day can be completely different, but if we can perform to our potential, then I don't see why there's no reason that we can't win it. So yeah, it's just an exciting time, isn't it, to be involved in it, and to have the team that we have is great.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And again, I'm not going to say fingers crossed, but yeah, obviously wishing you the best of luck, Eve, and all of the Phoenix players. And Lucy, do you reckon the Birmingham Phoenix will do it, or you're going to keep loyal to the Welsh Fire?
I think the Welsh Fire have got quite a team. But yeah, I think Birmingham are up there with them as well. So yeah,
really, you're not going to be biased.
I'm a bit on the fence, but I'm hoping Welsh Fire do well.
I was going to say, if that was me, and with that certain county beginning with W, I'd be all over it. We could have a squad of youngsters. I'd say we'd still win and go undefeated. But yeah, maybe that's just me. Fair enough, Lucy, for being a bit more objective. But even in terms of the 100 itself, then, if we're just going to kind of mention one final thing about it, and that is the legacy of it. So, of course, mentioned about the Super League, inspiring that next generation of female cricketers here in England and Wales. What do you think, or how momentous of a tournament do you think that the 100 will be in terms of raising the status of the women's game in this country? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's set out to be great for the female game. I think, obviously, we're on a bit more of a level platform with the men. I think playing the double headers has also helped with crowds. Hopefully we get loads more people coming to watch us, and sort of supporting the Birmingham Phoenix as a whole, not just the men's team. So supporting both male and female teams would be great. And I think it's a good opportunity for us to play on TV as well and be viewed by a lot of youngsters that want to play cricket. And hopefully we can be role models to a lot of young girls and boys that want to get involved and inspire them to actually pick up a bat or pick up a ball and just take them first steps into being a cricketer, really, and enjoying it.
Mm. It's very admirable when you put it like that. And Eve, this is, again, a bit profound, actually. But do you ever see yourself as that role model, as in terms of inspiring the next generation? Because, of course, with the advent of better streams, so, for example, last year with the Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy, the women's game in this country was a lot more visible. I think they had well over 500,000 streams, for example, in the group stages alone. Do you see yourself in the game of cricket as a role model, per se?
I probably wouldn't think of myself as a role model like that. I just think of myself as going out and playing cricket with my friends. So, but if I can inspire somebody to play, then that's a big plus, isn't it? I suppose that comes under it. But yeah, I don't really I don't know, necessarily see it as just that. I just want to play cricket and enjoy it and hopefully get people to watch and want to play the game.
Would it be strange, though, say let's in, I don't know, 10, 15 years' time, for example, you have a young female cricketer coming up through the ranks and she meets you even says, I looked up to you as a youngster. Would that be strange?
I'd probably find that really strange, yeah, because I'm quite shy. but yeah, no, I think that would be lovely. Like that, if somebody did that, that would obviously be really nice. I think to me or anybody in our team, I think we obviously want to inspire people to play cricket. And if that happens, then I'd probably be like, oh, so yeah.
Fair enough. Very, very humble, I must admit, Eve. Yeah, would be quite a strange feeling, but obviously a noble feeling as well, encouraging the next generation. Yeah. That is
definitely
the root of the game, isn't it, really? Continuing our fantastic sport. And I suppose, Eve, just one final question before we go on to everybody's favourite segment, which is a classic here on TCCP, which is teammates. There is just one more final question, and that is about the next steps of your career in terms of playing career. Where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years' time in the world of cricket?
Oh, gosh. I've not really thought about that far ahead. I don't know. I still want to be playing cricket as much as I can, and I'm playing at the highest level I can. I'd obviously love to travel the world a little bit more playing the game. And again, if I can play for England, even better. And I just want to just still enjoy it, to be honest. I'm loving it at the moment, and hopefully that will continue and we can be successful as a team. And hopefully inspire some people as well.
Exactly, yeah. Coming back to it, going full circle, of course. And Eve, from us two here on the Women's County Cricket Weekly Wrap-Up Show, wishing you the very, very best of luck in both this season and, of course, the next stages beyond that. We wish you a good career, to say the
Thanks
least.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
No problem. Right then, Lucy, I'll pass over to you. Let's get into teammates. Yeah, so I'm ready for teammates today.
And me. So, who would you say has the best nickname?
Best nickname? Claire Boycott, she's got a few. I've obviously got Jeff, the Jeffrey Boycott. If anyone knows her and knows what her hairstyle is like, we also call her Philip Schofield or the Silver Fox. So she's got a few.
Philip Schofield. Well, for those outside of the UK, look up Philip Schofield and then compare him to Claire Boycott. I can see a bit of a comparison there, to be honest. Terms of the hairstyle, and again, at least it's a creative nickname, I'll give you that. Also, just for the listeners out there, just make it clear, this is for the Central Sparks, not for the Birmingham Phoenix or Warwickshire. But in terms of the next question here on teammates then, Eve, who would you say is the teacher's pet at the Sparks? Who's always hanging around the coaches per se in the dressing room?
Oh, I got asked this a while ago. I don't want to stitch anyone up. Who am I going to say? There's probably two. Sorry, girls. Chloe Hill and Thea Brooks, I'd have to say.
If you had to choose one.
Oh, God. Thea.
Oh, there we go.
You made me choose. Sorry, Brooksy.
She's the teacher's pet. Not necessarily a bad one. I mean, there's worse coming up, to say the least. So.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Who's the ultimate karaoke queen?
Karaoke queen. Oh, well, we haven't had a chance to do any karaoke yet because of lockdown. Gwen Davis regularly tells us that she was Mary in the Christmas carol service when she was little, 2 years on the run. So she's got big, what's it called? What's the word?
What?
I don't know what I'm trying to say now. Gwen Davis.
Fair enough. For being Mary in the Christmas nativity. I mean,
yeah,
that's an interesting
2 years
one.
On the run.
2 years, yeah, we must not forget
that. 2 years
that.
On the run. Don't forget that important information.
Fantastic. Moving on to the next one then, Eve. Again, a bit more musically themed as well. Who is the team DJ for the Central Sparks and what are their choices of tunes?
It's actually our coach, Dom Osler.
Legend.
Literally could be anything that comes off his playlist. And he's got a few moves to go with it as well. So a little bit of dad dancing. But it's probably, I don't know, 80s classics. that kind of style. But then he does drop a few recent bangers in there, which keeps us on our toes.
Like what?
Oh, I can't think off the top of my head. I don't know, a bit of Marina and the Diamonds or something.
Hey, because it's Dom Osler and he is an absolute legend of the Bare and Ragged staff, we'll let it slide. Simple as that. What a hero. Fair enough. I would like to see those dance moves. They sound interesting.
That indeed.
Yeah, interesting.
So, Eve, who's the dressing room joker? Who's always cracking jokes, playing pranks?
Izzy Wong. She's got some horrendous dad jokes. Like, literally not funny at all, but she just backs herself, which I suppose is the good thing. She says it with conviction. But yeah, definitely Wongy.
I would probably agree with that. I'm going to be honest, having spoken to Izzy before. Yeah, he's a bit of a character. Good cricketer, though, and a very, very nice person, has to be said. Moving on to our next one then, Eve. This is always an interesting one. Who has the best celebrations in the Sparks dressing room? This can be for a wicket, 100, good catch, whatever.
Liz Russell. Quite an easy one, that one. She gives it the big Jesus pose and then the head back, which is always entertaining. She's got a few, actually. So I'm looking forward to what she's going to pull out the bag this year.
Are there any really dodgy celebrations?
Boycott does a little salute sometimes, which...
Well, like cultural.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, fair enough. If you can pull it off, go for it. Nothing wrong with that.
Who's the worst and best dressed in terms of fashion and that training?
Millie Holmes got to be up there. She tucks her retro Sparks trousers, so last year's playing trousers, into some like pink socks or something, and then wears a big black thick duffel coat. So I'm not sure whether that's best or worst, but probably both.
That's twice now that's happened here on the podcast. We're only 3 episodes in, and that's now 2 episodes in a row where the same person has been both.
Oh, really?
I mean, again, nothing wrong with that at all. Moving on to the next one then, Eve. Very, very cricket orientated. We've alluded to it throughout the podcast. Who is the biggest badger in the Sparks dressing room?
I can't say myself. maybe Marie Kelly. She does love some cricket chat. Who else would there be? There's probably loads, to be honest. Wong is quite a badger. She knows everything that's going on in the cricket game as well.
Again, nothing wrong with that at all.
Who's the social media addict? Who's always on their phone?
Oh, probably everybody. We do ban phones at games, though, so everyone's got to stay off. But Chloe Hill loves a pic for the gram. Trying to think who else does. I'll probably go Hilly. She does it for the gram.
Yeah, pretty self-explanatory then. In terms of that one. Hey, fair enough. Sounds like a decent choice then. And Eve, our final one, which is turning into a bit of a classic here, has to be said. Who is the most likely to win I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here in the Sparks dressing room?
Oh, Hannah Baker.
Why?
Like, she's just very entertaining. I think I could just sit and watch her all day. Just some of the stuff that comes out of her mouth. It's just really funny. And she's quite cute. She just sits there and like giggles to herself and stuff. I think she'd be a people's favourite.
Fair enough. I suppose we have to say the other one, though. On the flip side of that, who wouldn't last the day in the jungle?
Oh, God. Who wouldn't last the day? I don't know. That's a tough one. Oh, Rhea, probably. Rhea Fackrell.
Any reason why?
I reckon she just might lose a rag and just...
chuck the towel in.
Nah. I want some proper food. I want a proper bed.
Well, maybe let's not get Rhea on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here anytime soon.
But then she might surprise us. She might be great.
And that's the thing. Hey, in fact, if anything, we should test that out then. Rhea, if you're listening, get yourself on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. We'll see how it how she pans out. But yeah, Eve, I think that's a good way to wrap up today's teammate segment and, of course, today's episode of the Women's County Cricket Weekly Wrap-Up Show. So before we do end today's episode, do you just have anything to plug or promote? Any social media channels, for example? Any, well, I suppose, websites for the Sparks? Stuff like that?
Yeah, so Sparks are on all forms of social media. So on Instagram, we're @_CentralSparks, and then you'll find us on Twitter @CentralSparks as well.
Fantastic. And of course, we will be leaving the links to those in the podcast description if you want to go and check out the Sparks. Give them some support this summer as well. Okay, simple as that. Get out there, support the girls in 2021. But yeah, Eve, that's pretty much it from us here at the County Cricket Podcast for this episode then. Thank you very much for coming on today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking all things cricket and, of course, teammates as well. Always a nice way to round off any episode. And yeah, always welcome back on here for the Women's County Cricket Weekly Wrap-Up Show. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it for today's episode then. So for all of the listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.